Okay, good evening, everyone. This week is Parashas Emor, Tavshin Ayin Tes. We will start on page 682 in the Art Scroll Chumash. We'll be starting Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes, chapter 23, verse 9. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amar to aleihem, and say to them, when you come to the land, asher ani noisein lochem, that I am giving you, uketzaretem es ketzira, and you shall harvest its grain, v'haveisem es omer, you shall bring an omer, reishes ketzirachem el kohen, the first of your harvesting to the kohen, v'heinif es haomer lefnei Hashem l'ritzoinchem, he shall wave the omer before God for your favor. B'macharas HaShabbos, on the day after, here it means the day after the holiday, Yinefero HaKoyen, the Koyen shall wave it. Now this is referring to the Omer carbon that was brought on the second day of Pesach. The second day of Pesach being the first day of Chol HaMoed, the night after the first day of Yontif, the Omer grain was harvested, and it was brought as an offering on the second day of Pesach. As is mentioned, there was a waving of this Omer. The Omer came from barley, and in essence, what it really was, as we'll read on, the Omer was a carbon mincha. It was a meal offering, like others. The pasuk continues, "Vasisim yamanivchem es haomer, you shall do on the day that you wave the Omer keves tamim ben shnasa lo'ayla l'Hashem, a lamb without blemish within its first year as a burnt offering to Hashem, uminchasay, and its meal offering." Shnei Esrei M'Seiles, 2/10 of an ephah of Seiles, of ground flour, Belula B'Hashemen, mixed with oil, Ishei LaHashem, a burnt offering to Hashem, Reach Nechayach, producing a pleasant aroma, V'Nitzkayayim Revi'es Hahin, and the wine libation was a quarter of a hin. Okay, so what we have here is a special mincha offering called the Karban Omer. And that was brought the second day of Pesach, and that's the first mitzvah mentioned here. Now let's skip the next pasuk and read on. Pasuk Tesvav. Utzvartem lochem yimacharas haShabbos. You shall count for yourselves on the day after the Yontif. B'yema b'yachem es emer hatenufa. From the day that you bring the omer that was waved. Sheva Shabbosayis m'mes tiyena. 7 complete weeks. Abimacharas haShabbos haShviyis. Until the day after the 7th week. Tisperu chamishim yoim, you shall then count 50 days. You will count 50 days. The craft of mincha chadash of Hashem, you shall bring a new offering to Hashem. Now on Shavuos, on Pesach, the Omer offering comes from barley. On Shavuos, the meal offering that's brought specially for Shavuos was called the shtei halechem, the two breads, but it was a mincha offering, a meal offering, and it was brought from wheat. So we have the Torah first mentioning the mitzvah of bringing the Omer sacrifice, and then we have the Torah saying to count from the day of the bringing of the Omer. The first is the mitzvah of bringing the Omer, the second mitzvah is what we refer to as Sfiras HaOmer, counting the Omer. Now, the first thing I want to discuss is there a, let's call it a halakha connection between these two mitzvahs? Meaning, the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Sfira dependent on the mitzvah being the Omer, or is it independent? So according to most Rishonim, according to most of the early authorities, they are connected. The Torah's mitzvah of counting Sfira is only if you bring the Omer carbon. If you bring the Omer carbon, you have a mitzvah to count. If you're not bringing the Omer carbon, you don't have a mitzvah to count. And therefore, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have the Omer carbon, there would be no more mitzvah from the Torah to count Sfira. And according to most Poskim, it is only a mitzvah midrabbanan to count Sfira nowadays. The fact that we count Sfira nowadays is a rabbinic mitzvah, and it's categorized, described in the Gemara Menachas as Zecher LeMikdash, to commemorate, to remember what was during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's according to most Peskim, most halachic authorities. The Rambam says that it's still midaraisa. Even nowadays, it's still midaraisa. So according to the Rambam, the two mitzvahs are not connected, even though, interestingly, when the Torah talks about Sfira, it does mention to count it from the day that you bring the Omer, so the Torah makes some kind of connection there, but it's not a connection that makes the whole mitzvah dependent on one another. you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to still count svira, even if you come to a point where you're not bringing the omer offering. So the Aruch HaShulchan, when he talks about these two opinions, gives a very interesting insight. So he first brings the opinion of the majority of the halachic authorities that say that bizman hazeh, the mitzvah is only midrabanan, which means that when the Torah gave us the mitzvah of counting, the mitzvah was to count from the bringing of the omer carbon. It was directly connected to that. You count svira from the bringing of the carbon, which means that when we count 50 days, what are we counting? We're counting 50 days from the bringing of the omer. Yes, it ends by Shavuos, but we are counting from the point of bringing the omer. When we don't have an omer, there's no more counting from it, and therefore it's only midrabanan. And he cites a medrash. Actually, he's bringing down the commentary of the Ran. Brings down a medrash that says like this: B'shosh amar lahem Moshe ta'avdinas alekim al har hazeh. When Moshe told the Jewish people the message that Hashem sent to him by the burning bush, and that is that after I take you out of Mitzrayim, you shall worship God on this mountain, referring to the giving of the Torah. Amar lo Yisrael, the Jewish people said, Moshe Rabbeinu, our master Moshe, when will this worshiping take place? Omer Lahem, he said to them, 50 days from now, at the end of 50 days. And each person was counting for himself the days towards the giving of the Torah. Mikan kavu chachamim, and it's from here the chachamim established the sfira sa'omer, to the counting of the omer. Now, it's very interesting. The wording of this medrash is Mikan Kabu Chachamim L'Sfira Sa'omer. From here, the sages established the counting of the Omer. I mean, the sages established. The Torah establishes it, doesn't it? Koloimar, but the meaning is, says the Ran, Bizman Azesh in Anu Mevian Karban of Eloy Omer. Nowadays, we have no Karbanis, and therefore we don't have the Omer offering. Ela Mechashvin Chamishim Yoim L'Simchas HaTorah. So why do we count? We're counting in anticipation of the joyous receiving of the Torah. Just as the Jewish people counted the days to receiving the Torah, we count also 50 days as they did to reaching the joyous holiday of Shavuos, the holiday of Matan Torah. Now, v'zeh derech drash. The Ran says, this is midrashic. The ikra de milsu shezeh zeh chalamikdash. The Gemara doesn't say that we're counting svira because we're doing what they did at that time, just as they count in anticipation of the receiving of the Torah. That's what we do. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's Zecher LeMikdash. Zecher LeMikdash means that it was done to commemorate what we used to do in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Medrash is adding another dimension, another idea, that we're also going to be counting Svira. When we count Svira, we should also be doing it as they did in those days. When they heard 50 days later with the giving of the Torah, they counted in anticipation of it. We should be doing that. When the Chachamim established counting Svira, they had that in mind also. But the point that the Ran wants to bring up from this Medrash is that, as it says, Mikan Kavu Chachamim, the sages established it. That's because nowadays, if we don't have the Omer offering, we don't have the mitzvah of the Torah. But rather, it's Midrabanan, it's a rabbinic establishment to count. The Medrash says it has a commemoration to what the Jewish people did in anticipation of the giving of the Torah after leaving Mitzrayim. The main point, as the Gemara says, is Zeich LeMikdash, we do it to commemorate what happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the approach of how to look at the counting if you make this connection. If you say that the mitzvah of Svira is only going to be a mitzvah, Minat Torah, if there is an Omer carbon, then that means we're counting from the bringing of the carbon, number counting. But then he says, but the Rambam doesn't say that way. The Rambam learns that Bizman Azeh nowadays, there is a mitzvah midaraisa, even without the Omer carbon. So according to the Rambam, how do we explain this count? What are we counting? You know, what are you counting from? What is this count? How do we understand this count? And the answer is according to the Rambam, Yesh Loimar, Deikaras Virahu, what are we counting towards or from, according to the Rambam? What's the counting revolving around? The giving of the Torah. It starts after Yitzhak, it starts after Pesach, but the count is not from the giving of the Omer carbon. It's towards Shavuos. It's counting towards the time of giving the Torah as the Jewish people did before. Now, At the same time, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva lahavi karbonos betchilas haminyan me'armas se'arim v'seifam yechitim. Nonetheless, we do know that the beginning of the count starts with bringing a carbon omer from barley, and at the conclusion on Shavuos, we bring a meal offering from wheat. Lahayra is to teach us the following. The bilti ha-toyra anachnu kebehemais nidme shma'acholon se'arim. The point is that when we left Mitzrayim, as elevated as we were from Mitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, the goal, of course, was to receive the Torah. And when you don't have the Torah, then we're like animals. Barley was always considered an animal feed in the Gemara, in the times of the Torah in the Gemara. It was animal feed. We put it in Chalt now. But apparently for them, it was animal feed. And therefore, the Torah starts us after Pesach, leading into Shavuos. It starts us bringing a mincha meal offering from barley to bring out that without the Torah, we're like an animal. Once we receive the Torah, then already, ukshakiblu ha-Torah, havdimus adam lahena. But when they receive the Torah, that is when now they were able to take on the form, the image, the essence of being a human being. V'lochein karbana menachitim ha-echal adam. Therefore on Shavuos, what is the meal offering from? Wheat, which is people food. And therefore the Torah is said to count to the carbon. The main point is a count towards the giving of the Torah. Therefore the mitzvah is also nowadays. So says Aruch HaShulchan. The point is, according to the Rambam, what is the count? What is the nature of this count? The nature of the count is count to the giving of the Torah. But we do know it's called Sfiras HaOmer, right? We call it the counting of the Omer. We connect this counting to the Omer carbon that was brought. The Torah makes that connection when it says count from the day after you bring. There's clearly a connection. It's not coincidental that the day that you start counting, there is a carbon, and the day that you end, there's a meal offering. Both are a carbon mincha. It's not coincidental. And the point is to bring out the idea that before we have the Torah, we are similar to animals. And that's represented by a barley offering, because barley is animal food. But then when we come to Shavuos and we receive the Torah, that is when we are able to take on the tzura, the form of a human being, and that is why the mincha, the meal offering on Shavuos, is made from wheat, which is people food. Now, I just want to add to this, that when we talk, when the Aruch HaShulchan says that the main point of the counting, the nature of the counting, according to the Rambam, is to count to the giving of the Torah. But we include the idea of counting Sphira from the Omer to bring out this idea that without the Torah we're like animals, with the Torah we become like people. We shouldn't see that necessarily just as some kind of like side little thing the Torah wants to teach us. Like, the main thing is we're counting towards Shavuos, to the giving of the Torah. And by the way, you know, we want to point out this other idea that without Torah we're like animals, with the Torah we become people, and therefore we count Sphira from the Omer carbon. It's not just coincidental. The point really is to bring out that when we're counting towards the Torah, we should remember a very, very important principle. And that principle is that without Torah, we're, of course, human, but we're like human animals. When we receive the Torah, that is when we become the type of person that Hashem wanted people to be. That is a very important principle to bear in mind when you are counting in anticipation of the Torah. When you count in the anticipation of the Torah, you should always be remembering that the difference between receiving the Torah and not receiving the Torah is, are you an animal that talks and stands on 2 feet? Or are you the human being that will you reach what a human being is meant to be? You know, I always mention this, that years ago, when I was in a grade school, so we were talking about mammals. So there was this girl who one time said, yeah, human beings are animals. And like, that struck me so strange. It really bugged me when she said it. I know she meant scientific, but it really bugged me. Like, No. People are not animals.
Yeah, but this is just a different
issue. I know that. But I'm just trying to say, like, it struck me funny. And the point is, to some degree, it should. Because we shouldn't categorize ourselves like that. We shouldn't categorize ourselves as just higher levels of animal. We have to understand that's what can happen when you don't have Torah. But when you do have Torah, that is when you reach what a human being is meant to be. So it's not just like a side thing that we should remember while we're counting Svira. It's a major idea. It's a major understanding of what the receiving of the Torah is about. That's what you should be thinking about when you're counting Svira in anticipation of the giving of the Torah. Okay. Now, I want to now share with you a thought from, which will relate to a lot of what we're talking about, some thoughts from the Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef has a very interesting discussion here about the mitzvah of Svira Sa'omer, of the counting of the Omer. And the first thing is that it's important to mention that the first mitzvah that we mentioned, which was the mitzvah of bringing the Omer, so the Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks, as he describes, when he explains mitzvahs, he says the carbon Omer, the reason why we bring a carbon Omer, is in order is that when we have our first harvesting of the season, which is barley, that's the first grain that ripens, we should right away acknowledge that where does this grain come from? It comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what we're supposed to recognize. The first thing that we recognize before we can partake of anything, because until we bring the Omer carbon, we're not allowed to eat from any of the new grain. We can't even harvest any of the new grain. Only once we're eating the Omer are we permitted to start dealing with the new grain. And that is because we have to recognize that we don't have anything on our own. It all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, we take the first of the harvesting, we give it to him in recognition and in gratitude of what we receive from him, and then we can move on to be able to partake from the grain. Be'er Yosef has a number of questions, and that is the following. We call this carbon Omer. The Torah says, bring, the wording is, Vaveisem es Omer, you shall bring an Omer. What does that word Omer mean? Where does that word Omer come from? Omer is actually a name of a measure. It's the name of a measure. A measure that we would very often call Asiris Ha'efa, a tenth of an Efa, also is called an Omer. We have that by the Mun. It says the Mun was an Omer, and the Torah tells us, Va'omer Asiris Ha'efa Hu, an Omer is a tenth of an Efa. Okay, so Omer is really a name of a measure. It's a name of a measure. It's this. You can either call it a tenth of an Efa or you call it an Omer. Efa is a dry measure. So you either call it a tenth of an Efa or an Omer. So the Be'er Yosef asks, how come of all the mincha carbons, how come from all the meal offerings that we have, none of them are called by the name of this measure other than this one? This one gets the name Omer, which is the name of a measure. No other carbonists get that name. No other meal offerings get that name. No other menachas get that name. Why here did the Torah decide that it's going to call it a name by this measure? Now, if the Torah also wanted to call it by the name of a measure, it could have called it Asiris Ha'efa, which is a typical way that the Torah describes this measure. So here, not only does the Torah name it by the measure, it names it with a word that's not even a typical word for this measure. Why did it do that? That's question number one. The other question that Be'er Yosef asks is the following, and that is a very interesting medrash. He cites a medrash that basically says, and the medrash interprets different psukim like this, that the tzchus, the merit for Avram Avinu to receive the land of Eretz Yisrael, was in the merit of the mitzvah of the bringing of the Omer that would eventually happen. We received Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was promised and given Eretz Yisrael in the merit of the mitzvah of Omer, of the bringing of the Omer that eventually be brought. Later on in history, when the Jewish people in the times of the Shoftim of Gidon, the Jewish people needed to be saved from their enemies. What mitzvah was their merit to be saved? The Omer, the bringing of the Omer. What mitzvah was the merit to save the Jewish people in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech from Sancheriv? When Sancheriv surrounded Yerushalayim, and at night his entire army died. What mitzvah protected the Jewish people? What was their merit for salvation? The Omer offering.
Other situations where the merit goes forward rather than backwards?
Could be. But that's what's happening here. You're right. That's what's happening here. The fact that there would be such a mitzvah, that becomes a merit for... It's like Hashem is saying, I give this land to Avraham Avinu because I know this mitzvah is going to be fulfilled. Okay? And I'm saving the Jewish people because of the merit of that mitzvah that was already taking place at that time. And the most interesting part of this medrash is that the mitzvah, the medrash says, what saved us from Haman? The Omer. There the medrash brings the following story. There the story goes that when Haman was told to get Mordechai, bring Mordechai to be put on the horse and parade him around, so at that point of time, Mordechai was fasting and learning with his students. And it says they saw Haman coming, and they thought for Mordechai this was the end. So the Medrash says Mordechai stood up and started davening. So Haman sat down with the students and said, what are you learning? So they said, we're learning about the Omer carbon. And he said, tell me about it. So they told him, and they mentioned that the Omer is, the Omer was an offering brought in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have the whole text in front of me here, but I believe they said to him, and it was the measure, the amount, the size, the volume of this meal offering was a tenth of an ephah. So Haman says, Kumu, arise, the natzchu aseres minchain, your tenth of an ephah, menachin laseres alofim, it's gonna be able to take away the 10,000 coins that I promised Achashverosh. When he heard about the Omer offering, he said, your 10 is going to knock off my 10. So that's the Medrash saying, you see, that the Omer, which is the 10th of an Ephah, that is what saved us in the times of Haman. There was something about that mitzvah that also protected us in the times of Haman. So the Bar Yosef asks, so what's the pshat? What's the pshat? What exactly is this tremendous merit of the Omer offering? So the Bar Yosef explains, and again, the Bar Yosef here also, when he talks about the fact that we know that according to many of the Rishonim, that the mitzvah of counting the Sfira is dependent on the bringing of the Omer, what exactly is the connection between the two? What is the connection between the counting of the Omer and accounting of Omer and the bringing of Omer? What's the connection? If we're counting for the bringing of the Omer, what's the point of that? So he brings a Medrash. The Medrash says like this, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emar lahem li Yisrael. Say to the Jewish people the following. Kshayisi noise lahem es haman. When I gave you the man in the desert, hayisi noise and aymer lochal echad ve'echad mikem. I gave an omer to every one of you. Hadahu dechsiv aymer lagogolis. As the Torah says, an omer per head. Va'achshav sh'atem noise li yisa aymer. But now when you give me an omer, referring to the omer carbon, en li elo aymer echad mikolchem. I only get one. You, I give millions, and I only get one back. And not only that, you know what you're giving me back? Barley. That's the cheapest. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu exhorts the Jewish people, you shall bring the Omer. Realize what little Hashem is asking back from you for what he did for you. Then it brings a desire, a similar idea. Okay, so what do you see from this Medrash? You see from this Medrash, there's a connection between the bringing of the Omer and the Mun. When it said, when Hashem says, I gave you an Omer, that's referring to the Mun. If I maybe skipped that part before. The Omer mentioned in the Medrash is the Mun. The Mun was an Omer, that's what Torah says. That was the measurement of the Mun. How much Mun did everybody get a day? An Omer, which is a tenth of an Ephah. Okay, so the Medrash says, Hashem says, I gave you an Omer, and you're giving me back an Omer. Pretty clear from the Medrash that this carbon Omer is connected to the Mun. And the Bar Yosef explains that yes, the Omer carbon, we have to understand that the bringing of the Omer carbon was actually meant to remember the Mun that we received in the Midbar. That's what it's about. And he explains that the point is that when we were in the desert, and we received man from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam every single day, we didn't have to lift a finger to produce it. As a matter of fact, you wanted to eat it as is, it was even ready to eat. We didn't have to do a thing. And what do we do all day in the Midbar? What did Jewish people do in the Midbar all day? They didn't have to make a living, so what did they do?
Learned.
Hopefully. That's what they did. They learned. They did mitzvahs, whatever mitzvahs that could be done.
They didn't have art school, though.
They didn't need it. Okay? So they learned Torah. That's what they did. That is what they spent their time doing. But they spent their time doing it with the understanding that their sustenance comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. They saw it coming directly from him. It was very clear that they had no involvement in it. And with that, they dedicated their lives to serving Hashem. That is what happened in the times of the Mun. Now, the point is, though, that, you know, Mun eventually stopped. Mun wasn't meant to go on forever. When the Jewish people entered the land of Eretz Yisrael, the first Pesach there in Eretz Yisrael, on the 16th day of Nisan, that is when the Mun actually stopped. It brings down a Medrash, brings down a Gemara, I think it is. The Gemara that says, that I have in front of me right now, but basically, I think he brings down that the Mun stopped on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, but they had enough of it to eat for like another month or so, and it was the second day of Pesach, which is the day that the Omer is brought, was the day that they stopped eating Mun. There was no more Mun left, and they started eating regular grain. So once the Jewish people entered the land of Canaan, Mun was meant to stop. But once Mun was meant to stop, and now they turned into an agricultural society, that means that now they had to work to sustain themselves. And once you have to work to sustain yourself, then the good old days of the Mun become history. And people start forgetting what happened at that point of time. And instead of always having a constant reminder that everything that we live off of comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, now you start saying to yourself, it's hard work, it's diligence, it's being smart. That's what our fate is dependent on. So basically, all the lessons of Emunah and Betachon, all the lessons of faith and trust in Hashem that the Jewish people were given every single day in the desert when they received the Mun was in danger of being forgotten. So the first thing the Ribbono Shel Olam did to help us remember was that when you look back in Parshas Beshalach, when the Torah talks about the episode of the Mun, Hashem tells Moshe, take a flask, fill it with Mun, and leave it next to the Aron. And Rashi there explains, why did Hashem do it? Because there'll be a point of time where the Jewish people, where the Jewish people would need to look at that Mun and be reminded that Hashem is the one who sustains you. In the times of Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah was exhorting the Jew, was rebuking the Jewish people. Why aren't you studying Torah? They said, "What do you mean? We got to work in the fields." So he went and he took out the Mun and he said, "Look, this is what Hashem sustained your ancestors with. It's the same thing now. It's not any different now. Hashem is the one who sustains us. There was a clear lesson to your grandparents. That is the truth, whether you're working the land or not." And therefore, you should be able to dedicate yourselves to learning Torah. So the Tzinsenes HaMun, the flask of the Mun, was one way that Hashem wanted the Jewish people to remember the lessons of the Mun. But the flask of the Mun stays inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It stays in the Holy of Holies. It's not out for display all the time. And at the same time, there was no involvement of the Jewish people. They weren't doing anything in regard to integrate, doing some kind of mitzvah that integrates this lesson to them. So therefore, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam give the Jewish people? The mitzvah of bringing the Omer. You're going to take your first grains, you're going to take the first grains of barley, we're going to call it Omer, the Omer sacrifice, so that you remember the other thing that was an Omer, which is the Mun. And when you're going to go in and bring the Omer carbon, and you're going to thank Hashem for the first grains that have ripened, you're going to remember the Mun. And you're going to remember how it was that the Ribbono Shel Olam, how directly you saw that Hashem is the ultimate provider, and that never has changed. Even now that you're working, that's the way things are. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate provider. Your fate is never in your hands. You have to do ishtaglus, you have to do your effort, but who's running the show and providing, what's making it happen that you should be able to have sustenance, it's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was the purpose of bringing the Omer carbon. That's what it was about. It was called the Omer because that would be the mitzvah, that would be the involvement of the Jewish people in remembering the Mun and the lessons that the Mun contained. Now, the next thing that he brings out is the fact that what day was the Omer brought on? It was brought on the 16th day of Nisan, the second day of Pesach. Following this theme that the Omer is about remembering the Mun, that connects very well to why it was brought on the second day of Pesach. Because it was brought, or it was commanded to be brought, for the anniversary of when the man would stop. The man would stop on the 16th. And on the 16th, that was the day that you would bring the Omer Karban to remember the man and kind of have that continuity. That even though on the 16th day of Nisan, the Omer, the man was finished, there was no more man to eat from anymore, okay? But now what do we have in place of that? We have the Karban, we have the Karban Omer to remember the lessons of the man. It follows together. Now, an interesting point that the Bar Yosef brings out, and to appreciate this, we should look in the Pesukim again. So take a look back on page 682. Take a look at Pasuk. Let's start again, Pasuk Tes. Three lines from the bottom. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamar to aleim. Speak to the Jewish people and say to them, Kisavoyu el ha'aretz shani noisei lachem ektsartem eskatsira. When you come to the land that I give you, that I'm giving you, and you harvest, you will bring the Omer, the first of your harvesting to the Kohen. He will wave the Omer before Hashem. On the day after the Yantif, the Kohen will wave it. That's the second time we're mentioning waving. And you shall make on the day that you wave the Omer. Again, three times the Torah mentions the waving. Why is there this repetition about the waving? What is so important about the waving by the Omer? The Omer is not the only sacrifice that was waved. There weren't too many, I don't know how many meal offerings, how many menachas were waved, but again, waving is not just unique to the Omer. There are other karbanos that are waved. Why is there such a stress on waving over here? Now, I would think one way to answer that question is the idea that when we wave, what does waving mean? What do we do? So the same way you wave a lulav, that's how you wave a sacrifice. Right? You do it in all four directions. The idea being that what we're doing is dedicated to the Rebbeinu Shlom, who's master over the entire, over all four directions of the world. We do it up and below, representing Shemayim V'aretz, heaven and earth, to say that what we're doing, we're dedicating to the master of heaven and earth. That's what we do when we wave. So when we're waving the Omer Karban, we're waving it in all four directions. We're waving it to the master of all four directions of the earth and of heaven and earth. So the reason why we're stressing the waving so much is because if the waving is this idea that we're waving towards the master of the universe, that's the lesson of the Omer Karban. That's the lesson of it. That's the lesson of it in the sense of, as the Chinuch says, the Omer is meant to remind us that everything comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's meant to remind us of the Mun, which was that lesson that our sustenance comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam alone. And therefore, there's a big stress on waving. There's a stress on waving. You have to, because the whole waving is the focus on the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that this is dedicated, this comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Our waving of the Omer is to say we wave it to the master of the universe because that's the main point here. The whole main point of this sacrifice is to remind ourselves of the master of the universe and that he gives us our sustenance. The Bar Yosef adds another dimension, a very interesting one. And he says like this. He says that the man was a physical food. It was physical, but it was also spiritual in nature. You didn't have to go to the bathroom from it. Okay, it's called the bread of the angels. Somehow or another, angels also partake from it. So the man was not your typical kind of food. So when you ate man, you know, you were eating holy food. You're eating very unique, holy, spiritual food. And therefore, the Jewish people were on a very holy level. But now they're going to Eretz Yisrael. Now they're eating mundane, physical food. That could be seen as a major spiritual downfall. First, I'm eating angelic food. And now I'm eating regular physical food. That clearly is a cause for a big downfall spiritually. But what we have to remember, what another lesson that the Omer teaches us, is the idea that as Yin, as Jews, the special neshama that we have and the Torah that we have, we actually have the ability to take our mundane food and to make it holy. The same way a carbon is eaten, that's a regular mundane physical act, but it's a mitzvah. It's by which atonement is attained. That means that you can take that food, that physical food, and when you use it in the service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it now becomes kaddish, it now becomes holy in itself. The Mishnah Sefer Yerushalmi says that a holy person turns his food into a carbon. The same way a carbon is sanctified because it's being used as a carbon, a holy person who eats sanctifies his food because it's used for a holy purpose. We have the ability to take our mundane food and to elevate it. We have the ability to elevate the mundane. We have the ability to sanctify the mundane. And that is also part of this lesson of the Omer, of the Omer carbon. We're taking the Omer carbon and we're waving it towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. The point of that is to say that we can take this food and we can dedicate it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's just like the Omer. It's just like the Mun. We can sanctify, just as the Mun was a sanctified food, we could also sanctify our food. Our food, our mundane grain, even our barley, our lowly barley, we can sanctify it. We could use it in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we eat for serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, we sanctify the food like a carbon. So the whole point of the waving is also to impress upon us that we can take this mundane food, although it's not the Mun, and we can dedicate it towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can focus it towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we do that, it can have the same sanctity as the Mun had. It's also part of the lesson of the Mun that the Omer is meant to remind us. The Be'er Yosef points out that the preparation of the Omer, meaning the harvesting and the preparing of the grain to be ground and the grinding, it was done with a lot of fanfare, done very publicly. Also part of the whole idea. We want the it was clear that the people should be very focused on this Omer carbon, and they should be focused on it and be thinking about it. But the Be'er Yosef points out, the Ribbono Shel Olam understood that a once-a-year event of bringing the Omer carbon is only going to suffice for so much of instilling the lessons, the remembrance of the Mun. And therefore, says the Be'er Yosef, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us another mitzvah. He gave us the Sfiras Omer. He gave us the mitzvah of counting from the Omer. So that for 49 days, we would count from the Omer. Again, we're counting from Pesach to Shavuos. But we want to count from the Omer because we want another opportunity. We want to do another thing that's going to remind us about the Omer and remind us about the Mun and remind us about that fundamental lesson that the Mun has in it. So for 49 days, starting from for the second day of Pesach, starting from bringing that Omer, starting from bringing the carbon that's meant to remind us of the Mun, from then on, 49 days we're going to count from that carbon. 49 days we're going to remember that carbon. 49 days we're going to remember the lessons of the carbon, which is reminding us of the Mun when we saw how our sustenance came directly from Hashem and how He is the ultimate and one and only provider. And we do that up to the giving of the Torah. Because that's not coincidental. That is because this whole idea is to understand that the sustenance that Hashem gives us is for what purpose? Is to be able to have the ability to serve Him through the Torah. But the point of the counting of Svira, says the Be'er Yosef, is the pshat. The point is that it's meant for us to remember the Omer carbon on a more consistent basis. Not just bring the carbon Omer and remember the Mun, but rather remember it for 49 days until the giving of the Torah. 49 days in which, again, we remind ourselves of the Omer carbon, of the Mun that it reminds us of, and of the lessons of the Mun that we were given. So with that he says, now we understand. So let's go back to the questions we asked. Why was this mincha called the Omer? The answer is, because we wanted to remind us of the other thing in the Torah called an Omer measure, which was the Mun, and there the measure was called an Omer. What's the great merit? Why do we say that the mitzvah of Omer is a merit for getting Eretz Yisrael and being safe from our enemies and saving us from Haman? The answer is because if you internalize the message of the Omer, you internalize the message of the Mun, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one and only provider, then that is the merit for gaining Eretz Yisrael and being saved from your enemies. It's that fundamental lesson that Omer carries with it that says, if you internalize that message as it should be, that is how you will be saved from your enemies. That is the merit for getting Eretz Yisrael.
So it's not just the effort of doing it, it's
the message. It's the internalization. It's the contemplation of what it means.
Maybe the fact that it's the counting adds to the. I was just trying to understand that people would doing carbon in many other cases, but this particular one apparently has much bigger merit. And
has because it has a very unique meaning to it. Okay, and the last thing that the Be'er Yosef points out is something very interesting. If you take a look on page 684. So it says, "V'asisa mimanifchem esa oimer, and you shall perform on the day of your waving of the oimer, keves tamim ben shenasai la'oidel Hashem. You're going to bring a lamb. U'minchasai. Now, like any other communal sacrifice, carbon seber, together with the animal, there was a wine libation brought, and there was a carbon mincha, meal offering that was brought. So the Torah tells us, u'minchasai, and the meal offering brought with this lamb, shnei yesreinim seilas, 2/10 of an epha of a flour. That's the amount of flour that you bring. It's mixed with oil, and there's also a wine libation. So the Mefarshim point out that there's something very unique here. Typically, when you bring a keves, the mincha, the meal offering that comes along with a lamb, is always 1/10 of an epha. Mm-hmm. Here, it's 2/10. Why is it that way? Says the Be'er Yosef, because 2/10 is double 1/10, right? Which means the 2/10 was a double omer. When do we get a double omer?
Shabbos.
For Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, we got two omer. We got a double portion. So the doubling of the omer measure is meant to commemorate, like we say, the omer is commemorating the mun. The double amount for the mincha is to commemorate the fact that on Erev Shabbos we got double the amount. Last question he asks is, we know that the mitzvah of counting the Omer, you count days and you count weeks. So the Be'er Yosef says, what's the pshat in counting weeks? Why aren't days sufficient? If you count days, you'll know how many weeks too. What's the point? Why are you counting weeks? Says the Be'er Yosef, apparently there's something to commemorate about days, something to commemorate about weeks. By the mun, there was the mun every day, and there was a double portion that came once a week. So again, the days is to remember the daily falling of the mun. The weeks is to remember the double portion of mun, the unique falling of mun, the unique miracle of mun that happened every week. So that is the Be'er Yosef's take here on this mitzvah of counting the Omer. Okay. Let's see here before we run out of time. All right, let's try this one. Now, let's go to page 686. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Uvekutzrechem es ketzir aretzechem, and when you harvest the harvest of your land, lo sechaleh pasatcha bekutzrecha, do not finish the corner of your field as you harvest. That means you have to leave a part of the field unharvested. And the gleanings of your harvest you shall not gather. That means there's a halacha called leket, that as you are harvesting, if certain pieces of certain stalks fall, you have to leave them for the poor. You shall leave them for the poor and for the convert. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God. So the Mishnah Chachma asks, this is being interjected in between the Torah's discussion of Shavuos and next of Rosh Hashanah. In the middle of discussion of the halal of the Yamim Tevim, all of a sudden we're getting this reminder. Don't forget about Lekan and Peah for the poor. What that have been interjected here for? Says the Meshech Chachma, that's being interjected because it's teaching us the following lesson. And that lesson is that when we celebrate Shavuos, we should not see Shavuos as only a celebration of the Torah we received that on our own we would never have realized. Chukim, plenty of things without the Torah we would never have realized. We never have made up on our own. Okay? But other things, such as being charitable, leaving for the poor, which are things that many societies do. You know, one might think that, you know, yeah, we know the Torah mentions them, but our, you know, it would be like our primary focus, our primary celebration of Shavuos of being able to the Torah are for the things that we couldn't figure out on our own. The Rabbanu Shalom interjects a mitzvah that we would have known on our own on Shavuos to say that never think that when you're doing this kind of a mitzvah, you're doing the mitzvah outside the fact that it's a mitzvah. Rather, when you do this mitzvah, you should understand that the basis for doing this mitzvah, even a mitzvah that you would have rationally made on your own, the basis for that mitzvah is the fact that it's a mitzvah of Hashem. When you celebrate Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, realize that every mitzvah in the Torah, even the ones we would have thought on our own, you do them because it's Hashem's mitzvah. Shavuos encompasses it all. Encompasses it the same way Shavuos encompasses the mitzvahs we wouldn't realize on our own, encompasses the mitzvah that we would realize. And the importance of that, says the Meshech Chachma, is because if we don't look at those mitzvahs that way, then it'll be very easy to turn around and to forget all about them. A society that looks at the way that it treats people, not based on Torah, but just based on what the social norm is or what it considers as moral, we know from history that could change in a split second. And all of a sudden, a human being becomes an animal, and you can justify it. So therefore, the Torah wants to put in giving to the poor in the middle, right after Shavuos, because it wants us to focus that on Shavuos, when we focus on the fact that Hashem gave us the Torah, we do the mitzvahs because Hashem gave us the Torah, we have to focus even on a mitzvah like charity, like leaving for the poor, which is something we would realize on our own. When you do it, you're doing it because Hashem said to do it. That doesn't exclude the idea that you do it with feelings of compassion, with feelings of care. It's not excluding that. But the real basis for doing it has to be the fact that it's a mitzvah of Hashem. Because the only way to guarantee that it's going to remain, that you're going to do it, without all of a sudden falling off the edge and justifying killing people, or justifying not being charitable, the only way that's going to last is if you see those mitzvahs as you're doing it because Hashem commanded us to do it at Har Sinai. Now, just want to connect. Just want to clue with an interesting story that we can connect with this. So there was a person flying. I didn't break down who I saw get the story from. Must be probably a friend, but I don't know. So there's a person he was from Baltimore. He was flying, and you know he had to go through security. So he took off his shoes, right, and put it into the plastic bin and he put all the other stuff, and he put it on the bin, and it went through the machine. Okay, so anybody who's been through that waits on the other side, and always says to themselves, "What if my stuff doesn't come out on the other side?" Okay, or let's say I get held up, you know, on one side before I come out on the other side, and it's not there. Well, that's what happened to this man. He came out on the other side; his shoes were gone. There was another pair of shoes left, but they were too small. So he spoke to the TSA agent. She went to her manager, and the manager was going to give him a voucher to go buy a pair of shoes in one of the places in the airport. But he didn't have enough time to go buy his shoes. He had to run to the. He had to get on a plane. So a woman nearby offered him her slippers, a pair of flip-flops. He had no choice. He took it. So there he was, you know, a guy, suit, tie, and pink flip-flops. And that's how he's now. And he had to go ahead and he had to take steps to get up to the airplane. So flip-flops can fall off easily. He's walking up the steps. What happens? The flip-flops fall off, and they fall all the way down to the ground under the stairs. He has to go down again, get the flip-flops, and get back on the airplane. Finally, he's sitting down on the airplane, and someone next to him comes over and just says, "I got to tell you something. I can't believe how calm you stayed the entire time. I can't believe it. The way you stayed calm through all of this is incredible. You didn't become angry. You didn't shout. You didn't become indignant. Your calmness is amazing." Very nice. B'kiddush Hashem, right? And then this person said to him, "It's a credit to your religion." Which means this person understood, right, that where did this person get the strength to do this from? From his religion. That's an illustration of this idea. You know, you want to have something that's going to make sure that under all circumstances you're going to be a mensch, that under all circumstances you're going to do what basic human respect demands. You want to have a guarantee of that? Torah. That's the guarantee. That's how it could happen. That's how it could remain. Have a good night.
Can I go back to this previous thing? I think there is a larger message here.